have a double education. So welcome to the adult class of Grace Bible Church. We don't need to go to Matthew. You have it written here for you to see the lineage of the kings in Matthew. And you recall that there, Joram did a tremendous sin in the kings of Judah. And remember, there's kings of Israel, kings of Judah. Israel, the 10 northern tribes. Judah, the southern two tribes. But that's where the lineage of David is in Judah. And anyhow, the next three kings after, there was good and bad. It was Ahaziah, yeah. When he died, remember his mother Athaliah tried to destroy the seed royal, because don't forget what we're studying is the prophecy about the seed of the woman that's going to come and bring salvation through destroying the seed of the serpent, and that seed line leads to the Lord Jesus Christ. We've already pointed that out, but here she tried to actually destroy the seed line. And it was Jehoiada the priest that saved Joash, Jehoahaz, and preserved him until he was 8 years old and brought him out from hiding, and they put him on the throne, killed Athaliah. Athaliah is not even, she's of the lineage of Israel, the idolatrous lines of kings and so forth. And she tried to become a king or a queen in Judah. And so she did for 8 years until they brought the son out and then destroyed her and put the right king in place. And then when Jehoiada the priest died, Joash turns around and does wrong. And when Jehoiada's son, who's now the high priest, tells him he did wrong, he had him killed and forgot the goodness that Jehoiada did to him. So anyhow, these three kings get cut out of the genealogy of Christ. When we get down to the 17th king that's Jehoahaz, it's 2 Kings chapter 23. And we'll try to figure out why Matthew would leave him out. Second Kings chapter 23. Okay, we're going to begin in verse 28. And this is where you'll see him enthroned here. It says, 2 Kings 23, verse 28, it says, "Now the rest of the acts of Joash and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? In his day, Pharaoh Necho, king of Egypt, went up against the king of Assyria to the river Euphrates, and King Joash went against him, and he slew him at Megiddo, where he had seen him. And his servants carried him in a chariot dead from Megiddo and brought him to Jerusalem and buried him in his own sepulcher. And the people of the land took Jehoahaz, the son of Joash, and anointed him and made him king in his father's stead." Now, well, let me read a few more verses. It says, "And Jehoahaz was 23 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 3 months in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libna." That's not Jeremiah the prophet. It says, "And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his fathers had done. And Pharaoh Necho put him in bands in Riblah, the land of Hamath, and that he might reign in Jerusalem. And he put the land to tribute of 100 talents of silver and a talent of gold." Now, You're gonna read some of these other kings, it'll be kind of obvious. This king here, Jehoahaz, his father dies, he's of the rightful lineage, and it says that he becomes king what did he reign? 3 months, it's a short reign. But anyhow, he does take the reign. There's something interesting in the statement here that I don't know, it's just something that's stated that's different than every other king. For instance, and when you read about all the different kings, when their dad dies, it says, and the son, it names the son, reigned in his stead. I don't know if you remember back when Solomon first took the reign when David died, that another son tried to take the reign. And there was a lot of problems going on until it would be exposed that David actually appointed Solomon to be the rightful king, and then that ended the problem they were having. So it seems like the fathers always appoint which son is going to reign in their stead. Well, it doesn't seem like Joash appointed a son, because if you look at verse 31, the end of verse 30, where it says in the middle of that verse, and the people of the land took Jehoahaz, the son of Joash, and appointed him king in his father's stead. The king didn't appoint him, the people of the land appointed him. Now, I don't know anything else to say about this king except that when you get to Matthew, he's not recognized. He did evil, but a lot of other kings did evil in their sight that are listed. And there's even some that even did more evil than him. But there is something stated because, you know, you have a parallel passage over in 2 Chronicles, and it matches, it says the exact same thing, that the people of the land made him the king. And then when you get to Matthew's reckoning, there's no reckoning him as being the rightful king. Now, whether it's the short 3 months and he didn't actually reign a year, so it's not a generation, therefore Matthew leaves him out. Now, that's a possibility. But anyhow, it is interesting, that other statement. But again, remember, Matthew is tracing the genealogy and he's pointing out 14 generations in this lineage, because there was 14 generations before and there'll be 14 generations after that lead up to the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's either the generation that it's only a 3 month, or the fact that he's not really the one that God would recognize as the king, or the king didn't actually appoint him, the people of the land appointed him. So anyhow, that's an explanation of his. Now, when Jehoahaz dies, if you look down in verse 34, it says, and Pharaoh Necho made Eliakim, the son of Joash, king in the room of Joash, his father, and returned the name to Jehoiakim, and took Jehoahaz away, and he came to Egypt and died there. And Jehoiakim, gave the silver and the gold to Pharaoh, but he taxed the land to give money according to the commandment of Pharaoh. He extracted the silver and the gold of the people of the land, of every one according to his taxation, to give it to Pharaoh Necho. And Jehoiakim was 20 and 5 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Zubdah, the daughter of, and then you got the statement about his reign, verse 37, he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord according to all that his fathers had done. But you know, again, when you look at this man, why would they leave out Jehoiakim? Well, Jehoiakim wasn't appointed by his father or anybody else. He was appointed by Pharaoh Necho. Pharaoh Necho besieged the city under Jehoahaz, and then when he removed him and he died in Egypt, it's Pharaoh Necho who appointed the next king of Israel. God doesn't recognize him as the rightful king. Jehoiakim, he does reign for those several years there. How many years was it? Was 25 when he began to reign. He reigned 11 years. But his name is not reckoned because it's Pharaoh Necho who put him in there as king. By the way, I have it marked on my paper. Oh, I got it marked on another paper. Oh, so we'll have to do it from reading. Do you notice that who Jehoiakim is? It says in verse 34, and Pharaoh Necho made Eliakim, the son of Joash, king in his room. There's another thing to keep in mind here. Just like there's not a whole generation in Jehoahaz, when he comes to Joash, Josiah, you've been letting me say that the whole time, haven't you? That'll confuse anybody on a tape. Got to get all my Joes right. Josiah, that when he died, his son takes the throne, but Jehoiakim is his son. They're the same generation. There's going to be another one. Jehoiachin, when we get to him, He's actually the grandson of Josiah. But then when we finally, if I don't say this when we get there, when we finally get to Zedekiah, you're going to find Zedekiah is Jehoiachin's uncle. Therefore, Zedekiah is also a son of Josiah. So that these three, Jehoahaz, Jehoiakim, and Zedekiah, they're like brothers. Whether they have the same mother or not, I don't know, but they're all sons of Josiah. So even when you look at that, if they're all sons of Josiah, that's only one generation. That's not three generations. So it's interesting that that's not sons there, but there is going to be this grandson that we're going to talk about. He'll be the last guy that we talk about. So anyhow, we're in the reign of Jehoiakim. Chapter 24, verse 1, it says, "And in his day, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up, and Jehoiakim became his servant 3 years, and he returned and rebelled against him. And the Lord sent against the bands against him bands of the Chaldeans, and bands of Syrians, and bands of Moabites, and bands of the children of Ammon, and sent them against Judah to destroy it, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by his servant the prophets." Jeremiah, one of them. "Surely at the commandment of the Lord came this upon Judah, to remove them out of his sight, for the sins of Manasseh," now we didn't study about him, "according to all that he did. Manasseh was a very wicked king that really kind of brought the end brought in the highest degree of apostasy into Judah, and it kind of was the straw that broke the camel's back, so it's just a matter of time before God brought this destruction upon them. So there's when you study this, there's actually three times that Nebuchadnezzar will come up and siege the city. Not only did Manasseh bring apostasy into the land, the justice system, verse 4 says, "Also for the innocent blood that was shed, and for he filled Jerusalem with innocent blood, which the Lord would not pardon." And what that means is, in his justice system, he could be bought, he could be paid off. He didn't protect the widow, the fatherless, and so forth. And so, you know, martyrs were dying, and so there came a time in which God brought Nebuchadnezzar, brought all these other nations against them. Nebuchadnezzar actually leading the battle to destroy Judah. Verse 5 says, "Now the rest of the acts of Jehoiakim and all that he did, are they not written in the books of the chronicles of the king of Judah?" So this was a wicked king, but there's something else about Jehoiakim that's interesting to know. Come to Jeremiah chapter 36. So he's a king that the king of Egypt appointed over Judah when he actually took control of the nation and taxed the people, and they're paying him off. But while they're doing that, here comes all these other nations against the Judah, and finally Judah's going to fall to the hands of Nebuchadnezzar. Forget Pharaoh Necho, you're going to have to now deal with Nebuchadnezzar. But while Jehoiakim, earlier in his reign, when he was reigning, Jeremiah the prophet is the one who's prophesying during the end times here, before and during the captivity to Nebuchadnezzar, to Babylon. And in chapter 36 of Jeremiah, verse 1, it says this: "It came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Take thee a roll of a book, and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel, and against Judah, and against all the nations, from that day I spake unto thee, from the days of Josiah, even unto this day." So you see, when Jeremiah came on the scene and began to prophesy, and the fact that not only is he prophesying, there comes a time where God says, "Now take everything I've said to you and write it in a book." And so, verse 3, it says, "And that it may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I purpose to do unto them, that they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sins." And Jeremiah called Baruch, the son of Neriah, and Baruch wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord, which he had spoken unto him upon a roll of a book. And Jeremiah commanded Baruch, saying, I am shut up, I cannot go into the house of the Lord. Therefore, go thou and read in the roll which thou hast written from my mouth the words of the Lord in the ears of the people in the Lord's house upon the fasting day. Now that you know, the one time they were told to fast is on the after the Day of Atonement in the festival that follows that. It says, and also thou shalt read them in the ears of all Judah that come out of their cities. It may be that they will present their supplication before the Lord and will return everyone from his evil way, for great is the anger and the fury of the Lord hath pronounced against this people. So it's like, they're getting one last chance. God writes it in a book. They go and read it. And what happens in between here is that Baruch does exactly what he's told to do. He goes and he reads it. And then some of the princes are listening to what he says. Oh, wow, we got to get this read before the king. So they first take Baruch and say, read that to us again. And then they bring him before the king. So you get over in verse 19. It says, then said the princes unto Baruch, go and hide thee, and Jeremiah, and let no man know where ye be. Go in hiding. And they went in to the king, into the court, but they laid up the roll in the chamber of Elishama, the scribe, and told the words in the ear of the king. So the king sent Jehuda to fetch the roll, and he took it out of Elishama, the scribe's chambers, and Jehuda read it in the ears of the king and in the ears of the princes that stood beside the king. Now the king sat in the winter house in the ninth month, and there was fire in, is that a hearth? Is that what you call it? Hearth burning before him. And it came to pass that when Jehuda read three or four leaves, he cut it with a penknife and cast it into the fire on the hearth, and until the roll was consumed in the fire that was in the hearth. Yet they were not afraid, nor rent their garments, neither the king nor any of the servants that heard these words. And so now he says, hey, go find Jeremiah. They're going to try to kill Jeremiah from this now. But God wrote a prophecy, wrote it, had Jeremiah write it out of God. Speaks through the prophet, so when Jeremiah says it, Baruch writes it and puts it in the scroll. The king just cuts out pieces he don't like and starts throwing it in the fire until it's gone. That kind of reminds you of the new Bible versions, doesn't it? They don't like certain ones. They just kind of took verses out and threw them in the fire. But anyhow, it says in verse 27, and the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah after that the king had burned the roll, and the words that Baruch wrote at the mouth of Jeremiah, saying, take thee again another roll, and write in it all the former words that were in the first roll, which Jehoiakim the king of Judah had burned, that thou may say unto Jehoiakim the king of Judah, thus saith the Lord, thou hast burned this roll, saying, why hast thou written therein, saying, the king of Babylon shall certainly come to destroy this land and shall cause to cease from hence man and beast? Therefore, thus saith the Lord of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, he shall have none to sit upon the throne of David, and his dead body shall be cast in that day to the heat and the night frost. And I will punish him and his seed and his servants for their iniquity, and I will bring upon them and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem and upon the men of Judah all the evil that I have pronounced against them, but they hearken not. Then took Jeremiah another roll and gave it to Baruch and the scribe and the son of Neriah, who wrote therein from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the book which Jehoiakim the king had burned in the fire. And there was added besides them many like words about judgment. So you got a king here who was appointed by Pharaoh Necho in the first place, who, when he sits on the throne and hears from the word, or hears the word of God from Jeremiah, even a written word of God, thinks he can actually make God's word go away by burning it. But God's word is going to be preserved forever. And if God spoke it through Jeremiah once, he can speak it through Jeremiah a second time and add to it. And he does so and pronounces judgment. A judgment upon this king that no one from his seed is going to sit on that throne. And it said more than that, didn't it? Verse 30, therefore thus saith the Lord of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, he shall have none to sit upon the throne of David. Oh, and then about his dead body, and I will punish him and his seed and his servants for their iniquity. So God's going to punish that king, and certainly we read in the book of Matthew how we don't even read his name. His name's not even there, which reminds me of another verse in the Bible. Remember Revelation chapter 22? Jeremiah chapter 22, verse 19 reads this. Revelation. Thank you. It's going to be one of those days. Revelation 22, 19 says, if any man shall take away the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and out of the things written in this book. Now, I don't think that the book of life is the book of Matthew, but it is an interesting account here that his name is just written off. God doesn't recognize him as one of the kings, as the genealogy leading to Christ. There's several reasons for it, the appointment and how three different generations of his own, two others of his brothers are going to reign on the throne, none of which get recognized by the Lord. We're going to go actually in Matthew from Josiah to Jehoiachin, or Jeconiah as it says here. I put these other names in here because in different parts of the Bible, he goes by these other names. In our study in Kings, he's going to be called Jehoiachin. Go to 2 Kings, chapter 24. I'm only going to introduce him, and then we're going to skip him and come back to him. It says in verse 6, it says, so Jehoiakim slept with his fathers, and Jehoiachin, see that's why I keep calling him that. I think Chronicles probably calls him Jeconiah. But anyhow, Jehoiachin, his son, reigned in his stead. He does have a son then, doesn't he? Well, that's Jehoiakim's son. I was thinking he was, oh, that's right, he's the grandson of Josiah. So he does have a son that sits on the throne, but that son's cursed according to what we just read in Jeremiah. So anyhow, it says in verse 7, and the king of Egypt came not again anymore out of his land, for the king of Babylon had taken from the river Egypt unto the river Euphrates all that pertaineth unto the king of Egypt. Jehoiachin was 18 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 3 months, and his mother's name was Nehashta, the daughter of Elnathan of Jerusalem. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord according to all that his fathers had done. And at that time, the servants of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up against Jerusalem, and the city was besieged. So now there's a second time. By the way, the first siege upon Jerusalem is when Daniel was taken into captivity to Babylon. The second siege is when Ezekiel is going to be taken away to Babylon. And then the third is when the city is going to get destroyed. And that's what we're going to jump to, because I want to first go all the way to the 20th king that's missing in Matthew. He's the 20th king in 1 Chronicles 3, but he's missing in Matthew. Zedekiah. If you look at chapter 24 and pick up in verse 17. So here Babylon has come against Jerusalem again, besieged it, and it says in verse 17, and the king of Babylon made Mathana Mattaniah, his father's brother, king in his stead. Let's see if I got it right. Here's the king, his father's brother. So Josiah's, another Josiah's son, that was the point, made him king in his stead and changed his name to Zedekiah. Zedekiah was 21 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libna. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that Jehoiakim had done. For through the anger of the Lord it came to pass in Jerusalem and Judah, until he had cast them out of his presence, that Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon. And it came to pass in the ninth year of his reign, in the tenth month, in the tenth day of the month, that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came, and he and all his host against Jerusalem, and pitched against it, and they built forts round about. And the city was besieged unto the 11th year of Zedekiah. So you got the timing of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, the timing of Zedekiah's reign, but Zedekiah tried to rebel again, and this has brought the final destruction that's going to come when Nebuchadnezzar comes and conquers him. Where's that other place? Oh. Anyhow, the next chapter is all about how Nebuchadnezzar comes in, destroys him, and then destroys the city and the temple and so forth. But remember Jehoiachin? Nebuchadnezzar came against this guy, and I didn't read the last part. If you look over in 2 Kings 25, look at verse 27. Now, when Nebuchadnezzar came against Jehoiachin, I missed some reading. I wanted to read that to you. Let me find where I'm at, my notes. Down to verse 16. No, I didn't read all that, did I? Look back at chapter 24. And let me start again in verse 11. It says, "And Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came against the city and his servants and besieged it." Now, this is not Zedekiah's besieging, but Jehoiachin, at verse 12. "And Jehoiachin, the king of Judah, went out to the king of Babylon, he and his mother and his servants and his princes and his officers, and the king of Babylon took him in the eighth year of his reign," that is the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, "and he carried out thence all the treasure of the house of the Lord and the treasure of the king's house, and cut in pieces the vessels of gold which Solomon the king of Israel had made in the temple of the Lord, as the Lord had said. And he carried away all Jerusalem and all the princes and all the mighty men of valor, even 10,000 captives and all the craftsmen and the smiths. None remained save the poorest sort of the people of the land. And he carried away Jehoiachin to Babylon, and the king's mother and the king's wives, and his officers, and the mighty of the land, those carried he into captivity from Jerusalem to Babylon. And all the men of might, even 7,000, and craftsmen, and smiths, 1,000, and all that were strong and apt for war, even them the king of Babylon brought captive to Babylon." So I mentioned the captivity, and now you can see that in that second siege, how great all the gifted people, Nebuchadnezzar is going to use them in his reign in Babylon. But what's interesting, the one king that Matthew does leave in here, Jeconiah, that he does leave in here is a king that Babylon, now Zedekiah, by the way, he's appointed to be king by Nebuchadnezzar. So you understand why God doesn't recognize him as king. But this king, there's just more information here about him going to Babylon, and look how the book ends. 2 Kings chapter 25, verse 27. Needed that information before I could read this. "And it came to pass in the 7th and 30th year of the captivity of Jehoiachin, king of Judah, in the 12th month, on the seventh day, on the seventh and 20th day of the month, that evil Merodach, king of Babylon, in the year that he began to reign, so Nebuchadnezzar doesn't reign anymore, a new king takes the throne, in the year that he began to reign, did lift up the head of Jehoiachin, the king of Judah, out of prison. Sometimes when you lift up the head, you actually cut it off, but that's not what's going on here. Verse 28, and he spoke kindly to him and set his throne above the throne of the kings which were in Babylon and changed his prison garments, and he did eat bread continually before all the before him all the days of his life, and his allowance was continually was a continual allowance given to him of the kings, a daily rate for every day, all the days of his life. So here's a king. He's because he's the son of Jehoiakim, he's not going to prosper on the throne. But there's even more than that, and there's one more thing we're going to read, but because of that bell, I'm going to do it next week and then sum up the whole genealogy thing that Matthew has been pointing out to us, and we'll be done with this prophecy. But here's this king. He's not going to be recognized as the Lord, and yet his name appears in Matthew. And he appears in Matthew for a particular reason. But here, the king of Babylon, I mean, he's in prison. Finally, he's exalted in Babylon. And he's a king that God's going to point out as a very wicked king, and a curse is going to be put upon him. Some of you know where that's going, but we just didn't quite get there. So did I confuse everybody enough? Okay. But you can see this king was appointed by the people. This king was appointed by Pharaoh Necho. This king was appointed by Babylon. God's not recognizing any of those kings that are left out of the book of Matthew. And so there's some explanation of why they're left out. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we thank you that we have a Bible to study that will certainly intrigue us if we want to study all the details, especially we talk about Jehoiachin's recognition and out of prison in Babylon, the details of the day and the month that took place. That every detail in your Bible has some significance to it, and certainly the details about this man has some significance, and the glory of your son who came as the seed of David, and what connection that has to this, Father, we pray we'll come back next week and see and rejoice in the fact that through all this you fulfill your prophecy to bring about a Savior through the Son of David. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Should have corrected me earlier on Josiah.